Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Here's a little experiment for you. Stick your hand out toward your radio. Do you feel anything? Probably not, unless, of course, your radio's on the stove or in front of a fan. But even though you don't feel them, there are millions of electromagnetic waves passing through your hand and the rest of your body every second. You're listening to my voice right now, for example, thanks to just such waves. And that's what we'll think over for a few minutes today, the electromagnetic spectrum. Electromagnetic waves are made up of vibrating electric and magnetic fields. For our purposes, what distinguishes one type of wave from another is its frequency. In other words, the number of times a wave starts from a fixed reference point and returns to that reference point in any given period of time. That sequence, from start to finish, and start again, is called a cycle. An analogy might be if I were facing due north and turned around in a complete circle so that I wound up facing due north again. That would be one complete cycle. If it took me 1 second to make that cycle, we would say that my movement had a frequency of 1 cycle per second. In the world of electronics, we also call the measurement of 1 cycle per second a hertz, in honor of the scientist Heinrich Hertz, who, of course, did not invent rental cars. Now, let's think about electromagnetic waves. They form a complete spectrum running from radio waves, which have the lowest frequencies and are measured in terms of hundreds or thousands of hertz or cycles per second, all the way up to gamma rays and beyond, which have incredibly high frequencies of 1 with 20 zeros after it. Between radio waves and gamma rays, there are lots of other types of waves. In the rough order, from those with the lowest frequencies to those with the highest, the spectrum consists of radio waves, microwaves, infrared light waves, the visible light spectrum, ultraviolet light waves, X-rays, and gamma rays. The visible light spectrum, which is the light that we humans can see, is actually a very tiny slice of the electromagnetic spectrum as a whole. The rest of those waves are all around us all the time, but we have no way to detect them without the aid of electronic equipment. Two pieces of equipment that almost every household in this country has at least one of, and most households have 4 or 5 of: radio and television. In this country, we break the broadcast radio spectrum up into the AM and FM bands. AM stands for amplitude modulation, and FM stands for frequency modulation. Note that the broadcast spectrum is defined differently in some other parts of the world. But here in this country, AM radio signals run from about 525 kilohertz to about 1700 kilohertz. Now, as you recall, a hertz is 1 cycle per second. Kilo means thousand. So these radio waves are vibrating, the official word is oscillating, at a rate, for example, of 770,000 cycles per second, in the case of radio station WABC in New York, which is the original flagship station of the American broadcasting company, ABC. Now, you might have noticed that AM radio signals can do strange things at nighttime. That's because their frequencies are not high enough for the waves to escape the ionosphere surrounding the Earth. During the day, the energy of the sun helps to make the ionosphere more permeable to AM radio waves. But at night, those waves hit the ionosphere and bounce back to Earth, usually very far from where they started. That's why in Maine, for example, you might hear an AM station from anywhere east of the Rockies late at night. FM radio signals operate in a different part of the electromagnetic spectrum from AM signals. FM signals in this country run from 88 to 108 megahertz. Mega, as you might imagine, means millions. Because FM signals have such high energy, they can penetrate the atmospheric layers surrounding the Earth, and they go right out into space. FM signals also travel in a straight line, unlike AM signals. So, if you can draw an imaginary line straight from a radio station's antenna to your own radio's antenna, you should be able to hear the signal from that station. In the case of high-powered stations in the Midwest, which can operate at a power of 100,000 watts, the limitation on how far away you can hear the station's FM signal is actually determined by the curvature of the Earth. Since the Earth is round, as you get further away from the source of the radio signal, you eventually drop below the horizon, with reference to a straight line, an imaginary straight line, drawn from the originating radio signal's antenna to where you're standing. The signal is still there, but it passes over your head and out into space. This is one reason that people build receiving antennas for their radios and put them on high towers or on roofs. The idea is to increase the chances of being able to draw a straight line from the originating radio transmitter to your receiving radio. What about television? Interestingly enough, television channels 2 to 13 are in exactly the same part of the electromagnetic spectrum as FM radio signals. They are both very high frequency, or VHF, waves. In fact, the entire FM radio band is located between television channels 6 and 7. That's why if you're traveling through a city that has a television station on channel 6, you can often pick up the audio from the TV show that's on channel 6 on your FM car radio. The other channels on a television set, 14 and above, are in a higher part of the electromagnetic spectrum, from about 470 to 890 megahertz. These are referred to as UHF, or ultra-high frequency stations. The CB radio band, by the way, is between 460 and 470 megahertz, so it hits smack up against the bottom of the UHF band, which is why you sometimes get CB interference if you're watching one of the UHF channels. As you can begin to see, the electromagnetic spectrum is quite fascinating and has a huge impact on our lives. We don't really need to know how it's organized in order for our radio or televisions to work, but the understanding makes things a lot more interesting. And thanks to the electromagnetic spectrum, I'll see you next time on Notes from the Electronic Cottage.